Okay, so good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Before we begin, I will go over our virtual meeting norms. This is Trustee Becky Buck. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and will be posted for the public. All callers are to place themselves on mute until called upon. This helps with sound quality. Roll call is in place for attendance and for questions. When called upon for questions, if you have no questions, that's okay, but we do need to hear you say that. We do not want to assume that you have no questions, so if we can't hear you, I will assume that you have forgotten to unmute yourself. I will randomly select a committee member to move an action item. This does not mean you necessarily support the item, but just moves it onto the floor for discussion. To facilitate voting, we will do a negative vote. I will ask if anyone is opposed to an action item, and you are to speak up only if you are opposed to that. So I will call this meeting to order. This is Trustee Becky Buck, Chair of Programs, and we will begin with roll call. Trustee Kathy Archer. Trustee Archer, are you here?
I'm here.
All right. Glad to have you. Trustee Danko?
Thank you. I'm here.
Trustee Penny Deese? Trustee Penny Deese?
Penny Deese?
Joined.
Oh, Penny, you came just in time. I just called your name for the roll caller. Can you just confirm audibly for us that you are here?
Yep, I'm here. Thank you.
Not a problem. Okay, and Trustee Maria Felix-Miller?
I'm present. Thank you.
All right. I did receive from Trustee Alex Johnstone that she was going to be here tonight. Alex, are you here?
I am. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other trustees on the line? Okay, sounds like none. I didn't receive anything from anyone else. Now I will go through staff. I believe Associate Director Peter Sovereign is here.
I am. Good evening.
All right. Then Superintendent Bill Torrens.
Good evening.
Thank you, Bill. Superintendent Sharon Stefanian. Sharon, are you here tonight? All right, I will mark her as maybe. Manager of Communications and Community Engagement, Sean McKillop, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Amber Acklin.
I'm here, thank you.
Thank you, Amber. Amy Meaning-Coat.
I'm here, yes, thank you.
All right, and I believe we have Kathleen, who will be our minute taker.
Becky, no, Kathleen couldn't make it tonight, so I'm filling in for her. It's Linda.
Okay. Thank you for letting us know that, Linda. Glad to have you aboard for the evening. Okay. So we will move to, I heard a rumor that the director might be with us. Manny Figueredo, are you with us tonight?
It's Peter Sovereign here, and the director will be joining us for the partnership report.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. All right. With that, we will move to approval of the agenda, and I will appoint the mover of that. Let's see. Trustee Miller will move the agenda. Do we have any questions or comments? I will start with Trustee Archer.
No questions or comments, thank you.
All right. Trustee Danko?
No questions, thank you.
Trustee Deese?
No questions, thank you.
Trustee Miller?
No questions, thank you.
Trustee Johnstone?
No questions, thank you.
All right. Is anyone opposed to approval of the agenda? Okay, hearing none, that passes, and we will move to our third agenda item, the 21st Century Learning Report. I would just like to point out to trustees that this has an action item, and with that, we will turn to Superintendent Bill Torrens, and would you please bring us the report?
Thank you, and through the chair, I'll turn things first to Associate Director Sovereign for some context before we begin our presentation.
Great. Thanks, Bill, and good evening, everyone, again. It is our pleasure this evening to present to you the 21st Century Learning Report and Recommendation for Action. I'm going to turn things over to Bill in just a moment to walk us through the slides and the report. I want to thank Bill and his team for working on this during our closure period. And I really want to highlight the fact that the closure period, as challenging as it's been, has also provided some very unique opportunities. And this report, I believe, reflects the fact that the unique opportunity of being forced into learning from a distance, leveraging much of our 21st century learning strategy to date, and then forecasting forward to see what the fall might look like has created that really unique opportunity. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Bill to walk us through the different elements of the report and look forward to any questions that you might have at the end. Bill?
Thank you, Peter. And through the chair, I'll begin my report. We do have a PowerPoint presentation. So I'm on slide one, which would be the just a cover or very first slide, just to make sure that we're in the same place before we begin. And it is, thank you, Peter. It is my pleasure to present tonight's report. In terms of format, I'm actually going to make a relatively brief presentation of through the slide deck, and then at the end, of course, turn to questions and discussion for the committee, rather than stopping throughout in the interest of time and in the interest of process working at distance as we are right now. If I could ask everyone to move to the second slide, which is titled in the top right-hand corner, recommendation. And this is tonight's action item and our recommended action, which is to begin implementation of the 21st Century Learning Strategy in September 2020. And also set a mid-year check-in for the progress of that strategy's implementation. In terms of implementation, that really means to begin working with staff, students, and stakeholders rather than just having now an internal document or an internal strategy. And I will describe some of the action steps that would happen in at least the first year of implementation, but it's really an initiation and beginning in September 2020. We are committed to providing updates and through this committee in terms of the progress of the strategy, and by setting a mid-year check-in, we feel that that is an ideal time as it is prior to the formation of the board's budget. If there are any budget implications coming out of the work of implementing the strategy. If I could ask everyone to turn to slide three, top right-hand corner, 21st Century Learning Strategy. So the strategy itself envisions students acquiring skills and competencies beginning at their very first year of school in kindergarten, and then over time developing a set of 21st century competencies and digital skills throughout their career with the HWDSB and to graduation, and then through onto their post-secondary pathway. The vision statement of the on the screen captures that very clearly, and therefore the goal of the strategy, as outlined on the slide, is really the purpose. It's the why of the strategy. It's actually to create that high-level guidance to staff and create expectations for parents and other stakeholders in terms of how we intentionally and deliberately support students in acquiring those competencies and skills that are within the strategy, but also how we do that in a modern learning environment. That modern learning environment is absolutely crucial part of the strategy. Without it, and I'll describe what that is in just a moment. Without it, it's very difficult to acquire those competencies and skills in sufficient depth. What I'd like to add also is this strategy is not intended to be an add-on, if you pardon the expression in any way, but instead seamlessly is meant to integrate with our existing strategy. So if I provide an example, early reading, we may not think of early reading as a strategy area that may be heavily influenced within 21st century learning or digital strategy, but it is an area where students are focusing on communication and often collaboration in terms of skills that they're using to become effective learners. So developmentally, although we focus as a board on having all students reading by the end of grade one, alongside that and supporting that goal is also acquiring competencies needed to be effective communicators with others and communicators of their learning, collaborators with others, and acquiring some age-appropriate digital skills such as perhaps keyboarding or being able to navigate a digital platform that allows them to read a text or access a text. So if I could ask you to please move to slide four, I'm going to break down those three areas in just a little more depth. So slide four is entitled 21st Century Learning Strategy, and it has our three boxes. These are our three core components, absolutely interrelated. So to speak very directly around that modern learning environment, it includes a notion that we've brought to this committee and discussed with this committee on several occasions, and the notion that learning now happens in both physical and virtual environments. So learning in a modern learning environment is a blend. It occurs in both places and can do so in all classrooms. It's very much inclusive, meaning that it's personalized and intended to support and have high levels of expectation being success-oriented for all students. It brings in notions of the modern. And I think the modern, I'll just key to you, is where we would be looking at the tools and platforms and resources, digital tools such as laptops or iPads and our digital platforms such as the Hub, and where we would be creating standards for the board within a modern learning environment. So within that environment, where you have the necessary tools, the necessary blend of virtual and digital, you have some of the academic conditions in place in terms of having high expectations of success and differentiating or personalizing for students. Then we can work to develop the other two core components. First, the 21st century competencies. So competencies, as noted in the report, are a broader concept than a set of skills. They're really about, yes, acquiring some skills, but maybe not in a technical way, but instead in a way that is more adaptive and allows people to form attitudes, make decisions, contribute as citizens inside and outside of the classroom beyond some of our areas that are very much connected to our existing learning, our learning skills, such as communication, collaboration, and learning to learn. We We have based these first on the HWDSB 21st Century Learning Policy itself. So we've grounded it in our board policy. But our board policy, as a reminder, is also grounded in a ministry global competencies document that came out in 2016. So we've really rooted that, the notion that these are broad learning skills, competencies that we want to develop in students. We know that these are the type of skills that make them employable or provide employability that create success not only in our schools but in post-secondary pathways. We've heard that from our community. We know that from research evidence as well. Digital skills. So the middle column, we have adopted the International Society for Technological Education's standards for students. And these are, we're calling these digital skills because they are more of your technical skills. They're more your how to do tasks, not dependent on a certain platform or device, but instead broadly, as you use technology as a learning tool and eventually then for preparing you to use it as a vocational tool or a tool for work. So as you can see, there is quite a list of digital skills, beginning with really basic operations. And our belief is that in that modern learning environment, we can intentionally develop these skills in a developmentally appropriate way as students progress through our schools, and that having these skills will enable them to find success. So overall, when I look at these three core competencies, we've moved quite a distance from transforming learning everywhere, and instead we're really creating a policy, or a strategy rather, in this overall document that really sees us specifically developing skills and competencies and setting standards for what that modern learning environment looks like. If I could ask you to please turn to the next slide, which should be slide 5. It says implementation plan. I will continue. Very quickly, this is high level. There is Appendix B, of course, outlines in greater detail our implementation plan. But we foresee a 5-year implementation plan from next year being around really exploring and installing some of the standards and some of the language and concepts within the document we've just reviewed. But certainly next year is crucial because next year, as outlined in 3-6 in the chart in 3-6, we intend to set a standard for our blended learning platform within the HWDSB. We look to set some standards and narrow the apps, the selection of apps and platforms available to staff. Again, creating that modern learning environment. We intend to continue and build on the tremendous amount of work our educators have made in adopting digital tools in this school closure period and continue to support them in adding blended learning into their classroom program if it wasn't before. Develop support resources, including professional development, to implement the strategy, and really continue to shift the conversation to how are we using the right platforms, apps, and devices to meet the right task, learning task for students or a teaching task for an educator. So really focus there. A lot of work in year one, but an important part of the work I don't want to leave behind is that we need to create a measurement and evaluation criteria in year one that takes the items that I've just discussed and has us creating measurables. So over the 5 years, we can continue to come back to the program committee and provide updates based on data. So if we look at a a measure such as the stakeholder awareness. Next year would be a baseline, and over time we would look to how well staff, students, and other stakeholders are aware of our strategy, for example, and we can continue to measure that. And we'd use that same logic for a number of purposes, including trying to gauge how many classrooms we see blended learning or how often we're seeing blended learning occur. However, our student learning and achievement measures would continue to be, and this is back to the earlier point on being embedded, we continue to look for the measures in our existing strategies around all students graduating, all students improving in math, and all students reading by the end of grade one. We again, in a shift from the prior strategy of transforming learning everywhere, we're expecting to see this work very much being integrated. I'm moving on now to slide six, which is our rationale for the recommendation we just made. So thank you as I move through what the strategy, what its vision was around that HWDSB graduate, being someone who has been systematically prepared to find success in the future workplace that may be very different from their first day of kindergarten to when they graduate from a college or university program, or leave our schools to an OEAP or to the world of work after graduation. And we with our three core components, where we're trying to develop those skills and competencies in the modern learning environment. So why do we think September is the time to launch this? And as Peter alluded to, absolutely, there is an opportunity now to go back to an older timeline of reaching September 2020 as a start date. So we have three big ideas outlined in the report that I'm just going to explain right now. And first I'll start with one of our observations through school closure was we noted the absence of having the strategy in place. So there's absolutely a need for a strategy, especially with the planning that is occurring right now. That absence of a framework meant that rather than having board standards to rely on for a blended learning platform, for example, or for some key apps that educators could use with students, we're providing a lot of choice to educators. And we know through some parent voice that has been an area of feedback through thought exchange, where parents would have preferred some more standardization, for instance. we also found that we weren't in as ready a place as we may have suspected to move to distance learning. Absolutely, didn't expect it, considering we were together as a committee in February. It wasn't something we were expecting at that time, and 6 weeks later we were into a closure order. But we did notice that the digital skills, both staff and students, perhaps weren't as consistent and in place as we thought they perhaps could have, which again speaks to the need for an overall strategy. The second is looking at the learning that's occurred. And I noted a little bit just in the previous piece, but I also take a look and want to focus on throughout the strategy development process, stakeholder voice has always been very important to us. And we did gather some stakeholder voice through the parent voice survey that occurred through the HWDSB in the late winter. And we have some stakeholder voice, but the thought exchange process has absolutely brought us a rich understanding of staff and parent caregiver thoughts on digital platforms, on assessment practices. And what did we hear? You know, appreciating that we're in a very unusual situation and it wasn't normal. We were here that we did hear that concern around how and parents, how can we standardize? And it is frustrating to have 3 and 4 children in the house and 3 and 4 platforms occurring. We did hear about, you know, parents wanting us to, through Parent Voice, for instance, yes, continue to focus on reading and writing, but again, worried that students also need some of the digital skills. There's, we saw support from some stakeholders on the strategy, or on in creating a strategy. Certainly, we heard concern from some of our educators around our direction for moving to a board standard blended learning site and away from some tools they may prefer, and that's work that we will take away. But certainly we received probably richer, I would say, my estimation would be richer feedback through thought exchange and more relevant in a sense than we could have through the survey we had planned to do previously. So that's really fed into what was presented today, and we look forward to hearing the students' thought exchange data as well and making any last adjustments accordingly. And last is, again, that opportunity and timing. And it is an ideal time in many ways to launch the strategy. We're beginning the planning for September and the reopening of school based on ministry direction. Certainly to have a strategy where we are providing guidance to staff in terms of tools, digital platforms, and supporting that with professional learning over the summer, within a framework with a compelling why around the importance of using these tools and preparing students for that unknown future through competencies and skills. We think it is an ideal time to do that. It's certainly a question we hear from federations, and a question that was in the thought exchange was, what of this learning we've done, and a massive amount of learning, a credit to the educators certainly, what of that massive learning would we expect to see put in place in the next academic year? And it's our hope through having a strategy in place that we are then enabled to say, much of that learning can be put in place, and we will support you in terms of doing that effectively and appropriately if we're back to face-to-face full-time or we're in another circumstance due to COVID-19. And the last slide is slide 7, and just a quick history of the strategy development process from February 2019 to February 2021. I'm not going to move through the entire document, but I just want to note that coming out of this evening with the committee support, we would continue to refine our strategy and implementation plan. Make sure that we have final approval from Exec Council, and eventually in July and August before the start of the school year, ensure that each member of the committee has a final version and are aware of the communication plan, and then begin those implementation steps that I spoke to in September 2020 with, of course, that I'm projecting February 2021 would be the chance to provide a high-level update to the committee on implementation to date. And so with that, my formal presentation is complete, and I turn us to slide number 8 for discussion and questions.
Thank you very much, Superintendent Torrens. I believe I need to have a trustee move the report as there is an action item attached to it. Trustee Deese will move the report. We will now turn to questions and comments. I'm going to start with Trustee Miller. Any questions or comments?
I just actually have one question. Thank you so much for that very thorough report, and thank you to staff. I know that everyone has been working really hard on this whole strategy. I am curious, and this is kind of a hypothetical, so I'm not sure if it will actually have an answer, but I'm curious if, assuming we are in buildings, in schools, come September, are we worried at all about parent and student fatigue with digital learning? Do we have a sense of how we roll this out if there's any communication coming from students or families that they're hesitant given how long they've been at distance learning currently? Do we have any way to adapt that, or would it be just kind of through the educators themselves in the classroom rolling it out?
Superintendent Torrens?
And thank you, and through the chair, I think that's a wonderful question. It's part of the work that planning is going on right now, where we are thinking globally around what does the first 6 weeks of school look like in terms of assessing students where they are academically, considering they would have missed a substantial amount of the previous school year, where they are in terms of well-being and social-emotional well-being, and taking an assessment of where families are in terms of the mode of learning would certainly be a part of that. I think my belief is that the answer will be very much differentiated by the age and the developmental stage of students. So I could certainly see that secondary students will be in a different place potentially on that question than say kindergarten to grade 3 students, and we'll gauge our implementation accordingly. But our hope is to encourage educators to not necessarily have students do the learning at home, but perhaps have some of that virtual learning or learning in a virtual space actually happening within the school, where there is what I would call better conditions for that to occur, rather than in the first week back in September, moving again to some distance learning.
Thank you for that. Trustee Miller, any further questions?
No, thank you. I appreciate that you've been taking those concepts into consideration. So thank you.
Okay, I will then move to Trustee Deet.
Thank you. And I think similar to the vein that Trustee Miller was talking about, what we have been hearing during this is, as you mentioned, sort of, student-parent fatigue, motivating students, students, families just giving up, families, parents, tired of bugging their kids to get online and do the work, parents looking for extra work, I guess improving the relationship between the child and parent, which can be strained through this as they're trying to work online. So I don't know whether this all falls under mental health, because I recognize this is program, but it ties in. So I think when we connect back in September, it's not just the fact that there's students are going to be at different places. It's going to be motivating students again. And if we're still doing the with the 21st century learning or the blended learning or continuing with some of this. I don't know if that's something, Bill, you talked about it a bit, but I don't know if that's something we can build into some of this, is keeping kids motivated and helping parents with that motivation. So I guess that's my question.
And thank you. And through the chair, I think it's an excellent question in terms of how do we re-engage students in their learning? And certainly we know that many parents and caregivers are quite anxious around their child's progress and what the impact in next year will be. So part of that work really is making that assessment and being sensitive to the individual circumstances that are happening in the classroom. So I do want to just simply state that while we don't want educators to not use their learning and not give students an opportunity to provide or demonstrate what they've learned to be able to do, to show their learning on digital tools. That may, if we're completely face-to-face, that may not be at the forefront in the first weeks in school, but it is something that we do not want to lose sight of. We do not want to lose sight of as the fall starts to progress. I'm also very much mindful that we are now in a provincial context where two e-learning courses will be required for graduation. So how we work in secondary schools and supporting students and educators will likely look different than for our younger students, as I mentioned before.
Any further questions, Trustee Deep?
Yeah, no, I mean, thank you. And I know, you know, obviously, you know, and I appreciate all the work that's gone into this, and obviously we need to go in, you know, with this, and it's changed some things and highlighted some things, and you've got your work cut out for you. And I don't doubt for a minute that, you know, the teams are up to the challenge. So I think it's great at this point that, you know, we have to step back and we have to develop this strategy. For sure. Now we know that the world can change so quickly. You know, I guess looking back, it's too bad we weren't, or boards or education wasn't better prepared. But you know, that was, I think all of us never saw this coming. So yeah, I think that's it. Like I said, I think just the concerns I have, but you know, I think we're going to have to address them. And I know they're in your mind as well. So it'll be interesting to see when the student survey comes back. And actually, just to that, when will we get some results from the student survey?
I actually, and through the chair, I'm not aware of our timelines. I know it's underway right now. I'll look to Associate Director Sovereign, who may have some insight on that question.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. So it has been extended, and it closes at the end of this week, and then there'll be a short period of time for research and analytics to do their analysis and to provide us that feedback. I know that the director is on the line, and director, if I've said anything that's inaccurate, I'll give you an opportunity to clarify.
Okay, thanks, Peter. So through the chair, through Becky, Peter is correct. We've extended it till June 5th, till midnight. We wanted a little bit more engagement, a little more time with this. And usually it takes about I would say 10 day turnaround to get the reports, just like we saw with the public parent report, and that will become public. But definitely that will be information that will then be shared with each department, especially with programming 21st century learning. So there'll be some good insights there that we can share. But the public version of that report, we hope that no longer than 2 weeks after the closing date this Friday.
Okay, great. Thank you. I think that's it for me now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that, Penny. Trustee Danko, do you have any questions or comments?
Thank you. Yes, I do. I'm through the chair. I'll start by thanking staff for the work that's gone into this. I recognize that there's been a lot happening over the past couple of months, and this is a long time coming. We've had a number of delays in looking at what our 21st century learning strategy would look like at program, and it's come back to us time and time again. I also want to thank staff for recognizing that throwing devices or digital tools into classrooms doesn't support our goal of increasing student outcomes. It really involves intentional teaching and learning opportunities for our students. So I think by starting with that as our foundation of building a strategy, that is very helpful in moving us forward in a positive direction. So I do have a number of questions, and I have them on multiple pages, so I'll try to go through this in a way that makes sense. I guess I'll start by saying that I appreciate that we're focusing in on important skills for students. We're looking at the environment that will allow us to develop those skills for students. And my question about that piece of this is looking at the modern learning environment, totally support moving towards standardized platforms, focusing in on the technology that we're using with students so that families can learn similar technology for all of their children and actually support them, and so that students have a continuity of their learning experience from grade to grade and from teacher to teacher. So when we're doing that, we're looking at setting those standards for this fall, and that's part of the strategy. But do we have a sense of how specific we will be and how directive we can be in the environment that we work in with teachers in a unionized environment?